Hello, I'm John Davis. Today is Tuesday the 10th of November 2015, and I've come along with my colleague Brian Mintz to interview Mr. Clive Foster. Clive, would you please introduce yourself and tell me where and when you were born?
Hello, I was born on the 20th of September 53 and in Carlisle, Cumbria.
And which years did you work at the company, Clive?
I started in 1970 and finished in 1983, and I came back in 94 and then finished again in 2000.
Okay. And what was your final position at Fieldings, Clive?
I started, my final position was installation manager from 94 to 2000. But from 70, I did an apprenticeship, and then I went into the pipe shop in following the apprenticeship until I was made redundant in 1983.
Clive, you're a long way away up in Cumbria then, so how did you first learn about Fielding and Platt?
Well, I went to Chosen Hill Grammar School, and I wasn't the best student at school, but when it came to looking for a career, I think I went to Doughty's and went maybe to the Wagon Works or somewhere like that, and Pomalley, but I chose Fielding and Platt on advice of other people. I can't remember who they were, but they said Fielding and Platt was a good apprenticeship, so I went there.
So you'd obviously come down to live in Gloucester then, Clive, from Cumbria, a long way away. How did you come down here?
Well, my parents came down when I was 5 years old, so myself and three sisters, we all relocated to Gloucester. I went to the local Brockworth Primary School with my sisters, and they went to Denmark Road, one to Hucklecote Secondary and another to Chosen Hill with myself.
What really made you decide you'd like to go into engineering at all, Clive?
I don't know, really. It's at that time, I didn't have too many career path. And I thought if I get an apprenticeship, it would be something that would give me some security, if you like, you know, a trade to fall back on or work around.
Okay. Did any subjects you did at Chosen Hill School influence you at all?
I did metalwork, but it was very lightweight in terms of what it consisted of. The subject I liked the most was geography, so it was more a geography than a...
Well, that came in later, I'm sure, with all your travels, but we'll talk about that later. Right, you've heard about the company then, Clive, tell me about your first visit. Did you go along for an interview, I assume?
Yes, I think there was, at that stage, they were doing multiple interviews for apprenticeship. And I had attended an interview, I think it was up in the canteen, I think. And I think maybe on one of the questions was, if you were changing your bearings on your bicycle, you know, how would you do it? And I think I said, well, put some Vaseline and hold the bearings in and that sort of thing. And just remember that as a small...
Can you remember who interviewed you at all?
I can't know. It might have been Ron Wilmot.
Oh, right.
Yeah, it might have been Ron Wilmot. Yeah, I think he was overseeing the in charge of the apprentice school. Yes, probably was Ron Wilmot.
Okay. Did you have to do a written exam at all, Clive?
I don't remember.
Well, it was a long time ago, after all. obviously, you accepted and eventually started work. That was 1970, you said, Clive, wasn't it? Okay. And how old would you be then?
Done my secondary education, so
16, 17. Yeah, okay. Right, I think you said you lived in the Brockworth area. How did you travel to work, Clive?
Mainly on the bus, but there was a neighbour or near neighbour. I think he drove a truck for Baxter's Butchers, so he gave me a lift occasionally, yeah. in his brand new Hillman Avenger. At that time, it was quite a modern, you know, fantastic car.
Oh, there's posh now. What can you remember about the journey, Clive? You know, any particular shops, factories, or anything like that?
No, my trip was, I think the bypass was open in those days. The only thing you'd saw on a, you know, you'd see Walls Ice Cream, that was your, and then you come down through London Road, Northgate, Southgate, and down into Fieldings.
Over the cross in those days?
Yes, that's right.
Right, having arrived at the factory then, Clive, did you have to clock in?
Yes, we clocked in, yeah.
And what about if you were late?
Well, I think time was stopped, I think, if you were late. I was pretty good for timekeeping.
What were your memories of that first day, Clive? The sights, the sounds, the smells of going into a factory of the size of Fielding's?
I think it was mainly just a little bit nervous and, you're stepping into the unknown with... I didn't know anybody at that time. I mean, maybe, some of the other people knew each other already through schools and friendships, but I didn't know anybody there, so...
So I've got a photograph here of the 1970 intake, which I believe is on the website already, and I see 24 handsome young men by the look of it here, and you've just pointed yourself out as the second from the left on the front row. Can you tell me who your instructors were?
Barry Legg and Roy Breach.
Okay. And I just counted them up, that's 24 of you. That's quite a big intake. That must have taken a while to get going, mustn't it, Clive?
It was pretty loud when they're all hammering the blocks at one stage, I can say that.
What can you remember about that block then, Clive?
Well, I think if I did it now, I'd probably do it differently, but then, your ability to control and handle a hammer and chisel was a bit novice. So maybe you did more damage to your hand than you did to the block, possibly.
So at that time, was the training school right up in on the top floor?
Yes. It was on the top floor and it had the lecture room in its own area.
Yeah. So, obviously, did you spend in that training school, was it up to a year there?
Yes, it was 1 year.
Yeah. Can you sort of reminisce a little bit on what things were like there, what you did?
Well, I think, you did your basic training, but you also made things that people required, either in the works or sometimes for individuals, sometimes people's friends. So you did things other than actually part of the strict the training exercises.
But it was all obviously good experience.
Yeah, sure.
Did you make any of your own tools?
I think so. Yeah, I don't think I've still got them, but I made maybe some calipers or something like that, and a toolbox. Yes, certainly made a toolbox and hinges and that sort of thing for the toolbox. I've certainly kept that for a long time, but I don't think I have it now.
Okay, and did you get to know any of your apprentices very well?
Yes, looking at the photograph, Paul Register, Steve Bick, Chris Gardner, those would be the ones. I knew them all pretty well, but those were the ones that I met more socially in that time.
Do you see any of them at all now?
Well, I think I've seen some... at a distance in the city, but not being sure. I haven't spoken to anyone of my intake for some time.
No close friends, like?
No.
No, okay.
Oh, Paul Register. Yeah, Paul Register's the one we have Christmas cards, and I'll pop out to de Havilland and see him generally annually and tell him where I've been and see what he's up to.
Okay, Clive, so the year is in the training school has have come to an end then, and assuming you went out into the shops. What departments, which departments did you work in?
I worked in the piping shop with Ray Chamberlain and the piping crew.
Did you just work in that shop alone?
No, I was, there was the other people, I remember, I think it was like 10 or 12 in the piping shop. Ken Juggins, Reg Gregory, Arthur Lodge, Chris Quillam, a friend, Les George, Keith Hale, quite a few there that were all been fairly long-term employees. Yeah. So they were all skilled and experienced and good journeyman tradesmen.
I think you had a great respect for Ken Juggins, didn't you?
Oh, Ken was an unbelievable guy. I mean, what he was capable of. I did a lot of hot bending, cold bending, basically all done by hand and done by eye and done with, if you had a large thick wall diameter pipe, Ken would make a quarter diameter tube of the radius and put that radius into the pipe that we were producing, and it was all done by heat and pull lifts on a flat slab, and he could do anything. I believe in the old days when they were on the presses that were screwed flanged, when I was there it was primarily welded flanges. But in the old days, if you had a screwed 12-foot pipe, what they did, they'd screw both ends, and then Ken would put the dimensions into the pipe based on the bend and allowance, because it was cut off exactly the length straight, and he would produce the finished item correct to an eighth of an inch, and he would adjust the radiuses in the bends to obtain the finished dimensions. He was a genius.
Very good. I got a little experience of Ken because he used to live next door to my sister, so I knew him quite well. But he was the only guy at Fieldings who could bend a square section brass tube. And I think it might have been recorded elsewhere, but he filled it with very fine sand, filled the tube with very fine sand, sealed the ends, and then he was able to bend it without distorting the section of the pipe.
Oh, Ken, if anybody in the world could do anything with a pipe, Ken was there. He was a genius. Good. And a lovely man to work with. He smoked a little bit, you know, and I think that might have slowed him down, but his, what he had in his experience and his hands and his brain was immense.
Yeah, great guy. Right, Clive, so you stayed in a pipe shop most of your rest of your apprenticeship then?
Yes.
Okay. And in all this time then, so that's more or less a five-year apprenticeship, did you have to go to a technical college?
Yeah, I went to Gloucester Tech on a day release and maybe in the evenings as well. I think so. I think we did an evening course, yes. Alec Greer was, I think that was a name I remember from Gloucester Tech, one of the senior engineering lecturers. Mm.
Can you remember what subjects you took, Clive?
Yeah, mechanical engineering,
and
City and Guilds.
City and Guilds, okay. So I expect you still got the certificate somewhere, rather.
Probably have to get the review cobwebs in the loft.
Okay, right, back to the factory then. What can you remember about the canteen, Clive, and the people who work there?
Well, Mrs. Jones, Iris, pasties and that sort of thing. But it was pretty reasonable fare, and they were, it was a nice place to eat. And it was, well, Mrs. Jones, she was a very much a individual lady, and she lived in the same village as me in Brockworth, and sometimes she would ask me if I could give her a lift home. She must have travelled by bus, and she was... I did help her out on numerous occasions by giving her a lift home.
Having had a lift yourself in the early days, you were able to give a lift to somewhere else later on?
Yes.
Good. How about, did you eat in at lunchtime there, Clive?
I think generally, yeah. I think a lot, the canteen was fairly well used, and I think we had a split canteen then, didn't we? We had a workshop canteen and an office canteen, which, you know, these days is a bit unnecessary, I think.
Wouldn't be the same today. Right. How about sporting activities and social activities, Clive? What were they, and did you participate in any of them?
There was the, I think there was a field in sports day, if I remember rightly. I participated in that. We played skittles into departmental competition once, and we had some cricket tournaments. So Chris Quillam in the pipe shop was a very competent cricketer and a friend, so we could sort of rustle a decent team together with friends, and on occasions we did not bad.